Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
Well, good morning. Good to see and hear from you this morning as we have this opportunity to gather together to worship the Lord and think about closing out the year. But when we think about closing out the year, what do we think about immediately? The next year. What are your goals? What are your ambitions? What are your directions? And, you know, people make what we call New Year's resolutions, and they start them on January and break them by February, and works out pretty good. Well, we've entitled today's message, Fit for the New Year. And the Christian life is a life of faith. And many people set goals early on, but by the end of the year, they've not made much progress. Knowing what faith is and how we can grow in it will help you set reachable goals from a spiritual perspective. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Biblical faith is trusting something beyond clearly proving something. In the case of Jesus Christ, we can present enough evidence to convict people, but not enough evidence to convince everyone. Someone might say, show me Jesus. Well, I can show you Jesus in the life of believers and the response of believers and in the what God has done throughout. But I can't physically have Jesus appear here today. If he did, I would be out of here. So we need to be aware that there are some things we cannot do. They require faith. But is there evidence? There's evidence all over the place. Evidence enough to convict? Yes. But someone has to want to explore the evidence, see the evidence, and know it. Biblical faith is trusting something beyond clearly proving something. In the case of Jesus Christ, we can present enough evidence to convict, but again, not enough to convince everyone. All of life works like this, incidentally. Even proven things take faith. You're sitting on chairs because you have the conviction that those chairs were designed and built capable to hold you. And they do. Every Sunday. But as risk factors go up, your confidence factors tend to go down. For instance, today thousands of people are going to be flying on planes. But did you know there will be many more who won't fly on a plane? Because they're not convinced it'll get you back down. And their factor of faith on trusting a plane is very limited. It is God's part to place us into the body of Christ. But after that has happened, we have a spiritual obligation to grow. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, nothing you can do, you can only trust, so that no one may boast. But when one becomes a Christian, one becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they've come to that place after that conviction that Jesus is the Son of God. He came on earth, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he paid the penalty of sin for all sinners, which incidentally, all are sinners. It doesn't take a lot of faith to know that, incidentally. But all have sinned to come short of the glory of the Lord, of God, and God has sent his Son to die for us, and so we can put our faith in him. But when we're born as babes in Christ. And that means that we need to spend the rest of our time growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:5 says it this way, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. The reason so many Christians fail and fall is because they came to that point where they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they just sort of let life drift on, and they never matured and grew and added to their faith. And so when difficulty came and struggles came, their faith seems to be failing. Why? Because they didn't do what the scriptures tell us. Peter in 2 Peter 1:5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Other translations put it this way, to add to your faith. Faith is the start, and every true Christian has faith. Hebrews 11:1 says it, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But yet, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe, notice, that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. And for the new year, our goal ought to be to seek him, to know him more and more and more, all the time. Now, Peter tells us to supplement our Christian faith with seven actions or qualities. And if you add these to your life, you will find yourself strong in the faith, able to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first one, virtue. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Now, you may want to note in the text that we are encouraged to make every effort. Now, that involves doing something, every effort. Virtue has the idea of moral excellence. In other words, develop moral excellence in your life by learning the Word of God and what God would require and ask of us. Virtue has the idea of, in this moral excellence, of the woman in Proverbs 31. If you read Proverbs 31, she was a person of excellence. And as Christians, we should become people of excellence. We should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, and it should be able to be identified in us. In other words, if someone knows us, hangs out with us, gets to know us anyway, they ought to be able to say something like, there's a person of excellence who loves God, who serves God. Now, when you are serious about diet, you're concerned about what you add as well as what you subtract. And that's a pretty important thing. This idea of excellence, it's the quality of doing what is right and erasing, stop doing what is wrong. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And so Philippians tells us this way, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What fills your mind? What occupies your thinking during the course of the day? The Bible tells us to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're supposed to allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts and our life. And if you want to grow in your faith, add those things. First, virtue. But then knowledge. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort. Now again, notice every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. Of course, there are many ways to increase your knowledge. Church attendance is helpful. However, I would say if you go to church and you never grow in grace, you're either in the wrong church or asleep. We ought to be growing, shouldn't we? We should be hearing things that encourage us, inspire us to do certain things. The Christian faith is ever growing. And one of the best ways I found for the Christian faith to grow is reading a devotional. Now, I've been promising you one for 3 years. I want you to know it's under the editorial scrutiny now and headed for printing. So it won't be long. Won't be long. We're getting there. I've learned a lot writing. But here is the secret. In today's world, to add, you often must subtract. You have so many hours a day, same as I do. And in those days, you often have things that you catch your attention, and you have to say, how many hours am I going to spend doing this? How many hours am I going to spend doing this? That's why when I get in a car, I turn on Christian music or a Christian speaker. Why? Because I only have so many hours, and it's easy to get distracted. And so I say to myself, self, I don't want to be distracted. I want to make sure that my mind is filled with certain things. So I need to have additions and subtractions. Now, devotionals are very good, and I would suggest that you can get them often in the back of our church. Grab them. Don't hesitate to use them. Because the nice thing about devotional, I get up in the morning, and I don't use a devotional in the morning. I read one chapter of the Old Testament, one chapter of the New Testament. Now, I used to want to read through the New Testament as fast as possible every year. I've stopped doing that. Now I want to glean what it says and get the most out of it. So I take my time and read a chapter, and I circle and I square and I'll make a notation. Why? Because I want to get something out of it. So whatever works for you. Now, self-control is the next thing we should be adding. Knowledge with self-control. Now, in the King James, the word is temperance. Temperance. Whoever, the Bible says in Proverbs, is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. If you can control, you remember the old saying, if you give somebody a piece of your mind, you've given them what you can't afford to lose. That's how it is. And you know, I've walked into very, very difficult situations, and I've been able to talk to people, calm them down, and get things under control. It's very important that we learn self-control. And it's important, particularly as you're rising up in life and you're doing the things that you want to do. And if you want to go somewhere, learn how to be a person under self-control. And that's what glorifies God. When God is under control, the Bible says that we should be anxious for nothing. It says that we should control our tongue, and we should do these things and desire to do them. So let's do things that are self-controlling. Now, the next one that he lists for us is steadfastness. Steadfastness. 2 Peter 1:6. And self-control with steadfastness. This is the ability to endure with patience. Now, the word patience, incidentally, the word patience means to suffer a long time. When you say, dear God, give me patience, he said, okay, I'll keep letting it happen. So you get a little understanding on how to suffer and bear under and trust in me. I want to tell you a story about a girl named Tammy. You'll find her story in the devotional that you're going to get. When I first started pastoring in Illinois, we had nobody on staff and a few people attending church. And I thought, well, maybe one of the things we should do is attract some youth to our church. So I went down to the local school and I rented the gym. And I advertised all over the place that we were going to have a volleyball night in the neighborhood so I could meet some kids and get them in the gym. And sure enough, kids piled in. It was a great night. And then one young lady, oh, she went like this. Now I asked myself, what is she doing here? This was advertised as a volleyball night. And so she came and I introduced myself to her. She said, why are you here? I'm here to play volleyball. And I said, dear Lord, what do I do? And she went in the court, made an attempt, but really physically was not capable of doing much. But after the volleyball game, I talked to her. Her name was Tammy. I said, hey, Tammy, thank you for coming out to our volleyball game. What are you doing? Where are you in life? She says, well, I'm in school studying to be a secretary. And I said to myself, dear Lord, who would hire this girl? And the Lord said to me, you. What? You. And so I said, well, Tammy, I just started at this church down the street, and I don't have any secretary. Would you like to be my secretary? And she lit up like a ball and smiled and yes, yes. And so we made arrangements for the next week for her to come. She showed up at the church riding a three-wheel bicycle. Now, our church was very old, had steps going up to the sanctuary and steps going down to the lower level. In those days, elevators didn't exist. And so what happened was she shows up, and now I'm walking her down these steps every single day, step by step by step, putting her in a little office, and her fingers could barely move on a typewriter. But the one thing that Tammy always brought with her was a smile. It was so contagious. She was there all the time. You could sense that she was in pain many times, and yet she never complained and always had a smile. As days went by, she began to slow up as a day went by and a year went by, and we would have to take her down in a wheelchair. And if you can imagine, she's trusting me to hold a wheelchair and walk down 10 steps with her in that wheelchair. And always a smile, never a complaint, always cheerful, always on time, always thankful. That gal lit up our church. People, every person that came in contact with her was touched deeply in their heart by her attitude. Most would say, oh, poor girl. But Tammy never had that attitude. And she served well until the time when I left, and a couple years later she passed away from her illness. But I want to tell you, this gal demonstrated trust in the living God and touched everybody's life. The idea of patience in suffering and yet being cheerful, not walking around with a mope all the time, but rather with the sense of the joy of God, confident that God is in control. And this was Tammy all the way around. And she never, never changed, except she did one thing. She changed a lot of people because of her walk with God and her trust in the Lord. So we go from steadfastness to godliness. 2 Peter 1:6, and steadfastness with godliness. Godliness in its effect is God-likeness. You represent God. Let me ask you a question. If someone were to evaluate you as a representative of God, how would it go? We represent God. In the marketplace of life, we represent God. In our jobs, we represent God. In every area of life that we live, we represent God. Listen to what Philippians tells us. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Wow, how do you count people more significant than yourselves? This is what the Bible tells us to do. This is how we grow in grace. This is how we walk in faith. We count others more significant. Listen to what Jesus did, Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. That's how we represent God. We look to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. There's a sense of humility in a believer's life. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Why? Because we know we have been saved by grace. We know that we are sinners by nature, but we know that God has placed us in his family. We are accepted in the beloved. We know that what we have by the grace of God. And because we know that, we extend that to others. Were it not for God's grace, where would we be? And so we can have this sense of godliness about us, and we can have this sense of loving people because of the grace of God that has been extended into our own lives. Well, next he talks about brotherly affliction. 2 Peter 1:7, and godliness with, godliness with brotherly affection. How much do we love one another? Affection means we treat others as if they were part of our family. It was really cool to have my family here for Christmas and the last week. One of the things I enjoyed was watching my grandchildren. Did you know the whole house was like harmonious the whole week? They sat together, they laughed, they talked, they played a game, they chuckled. They even laughed in the same key. I mean, it was phenomenal. And I felt such harmony. I felt such love. Now, it would be different if you said, well, these kids see each other all the time. But one lives in New Zealand, one lives in Colorado, and two live here and in this state. And so how often do they get to cross paths? But man, it was like, it was phenomenal. And I just felt the wonder and the grace of God and this sense of brotherly affection. And that's how it should be with you and me. We should enjoy seeing each other. I love it. I saw a minister recently made a video about his coffee cove and how it changed his life. I said, I could have told him that years ago. Yeah. He said it changed. He learned the difference between just shaking the hand and saying goodbye and becoming part of the family of God. And that's what it's all about. And it's a wonderful thing. And we are called to have brotherly affection for one another. Now, as most of you know, I'm not a real touchy person. It's not that I'm not trying, and you can hug me if you want. I won't approach you. You approach me, that'll work. But I, you know, I'm just a nervous being. But there's nothing delights my heart more than Sunday morning. My eyes crossing your eyes, my heart crossing your heart, my sense of brotherly love and your sense of brotherly love, one for the other. There's nothing more delightful. And this is what as God has called us to do, brotherly affection. And then he gives us one more. He says in 1 Peter 1:7, godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. Did you know what love does? The Bible tells me that love covers a multitude of sins. I am so grateful for that. We can look at each other in eyes of love. We can look way beyond. You know, when a mother has a son that does something wrong, she doesn't stop loving him. In fact, she sometimes even seems to love him more. We just have this love, and this is what the body of Christ is called to have, this kind of love, and that overwhelms everything. I love you, you love me, and you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And it's not the world's love. I'm trying to get something from you, you're trying to get something. No, I am filled with the grace of God because he has filled me with graceful people who love God. And we have that love one for another. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful that God has given it to me. I'm grateful that God has given me to you. You know, I know that the years have gone by. And some of you have been here a long time, and I've been here a long time. And I know that this week we lost a couple of faithful people. And the years have gone by. And it's great sadness. I know I'll see them again. We are promised that. I know we'll rejoice in heaven. But years of relationship, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I am grateful for it. And I hope you're as grateful as I am for what God has done. So let's have a conclusion here. 2 Peter 1:8. For if these qualities are yours, and notice this next line, and are increasing, grow in grace, and are increasing, and keep you from being in ineffective, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Now notice this next thing. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten what he was cleansed from in his former sins. It so breaks my heart when I see a believer that isn't growing, because I know if they're not growing, they are missing out. They are missing out of the fullness and the richness and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he wants to extend into their lives. They're missing out in the sense of well-being. Even when the world is falling apart, the confidence that God is with them. They are missing out in that. They're missing out in the richness of the fellowship and relationship of the body of Christ. They are missing out, and it breaks my heart. He goes on to say in verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Practice these qualities in relationship one with the other. Practice when someone says something that may inch you the wrong direction, returning not insult for insult, but instead giving a blessing. Practice these things that you can live them out, and you will be blessed, and you will not fall. The Lord will stand by you and hold you up. 2 Peter 1:11. For in this way you will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are some going to heaven that will not have the same joy. Why? Because they failed to live it out today. They'll go to heaven because of the promises of Christ. But isn't there that sense that, even so, come Lord Jesus. I am in love with the Lord. I'm in love with the Lord's people. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to meet him. You're ready to go. You're ready to meet him. We enjoy one another's fellowship. We can't wait for the day when we can all sing in harmony before the Lord. What a wonderful thing. There is richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then he says this. Here's his intent. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have them. You know them, but why do we say them again? To remind you. Don't forget. Honor the Lord with your life. Live for the Lord in every way. Don't forget. And he says, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. It's my task. And it was his task to say, let's not forget what we have in Christ. Let's not forget who we are in Christ. Let's not forget how Christ works in our life. Let's not forget that we can cry unto him and he will answer us. Let's not forget that we can serve one another and honor one another and be a blessing to one another. Let's not forget. He said, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear. Here's what he's saying. I'm going, but I don't want you to forget what I've said. I want you to remember, because these are the things that keep us going. And he says, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall all these things. The greatest privilege I'll ever have in life, and I still have it now. I've been writing this devotional about lives 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and still living for Jesus, still loving the Lord. Still honoring the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is when you look back. Don't you get joy if you see your children walking in the Lord? Don't you get joy when you see your friends and loved ones that you've shared Christ with walking in the Lord? Don't you get joy when their lives have been touched deeply with the gospel? And that's why we should constantly remind people and make every effort to remind them to live out these qualities. And in living out these qualities, they will experience the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. A new year's coming. I pray for you a blessed, a rich, and a wonderful new year. One guided by the Lord Jesus Christ. One filled with the love of Christ. One where you feel the fellowship of the saints and you are deeply thankful for what God has put you into and the relationships that you have developed. One in which you know that whatever comes, I can cast all my care upon him, for he cares for me. There will never be a time where I will be alone or forsaken. There will always be the promises of Christ, the presence of Christ, and the power of Christ in my life. And I can live out this year with great expectation, because these are the promises of God. May the Lord bless us all in the new year. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for each one of us. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the richness of salvation. Thank you for a faith that does not need to be stagnant, but can be growing and maturing and blossoming. And Lord, unfolding year after year, we say to ourselves, can it get any better? And yet it can. Even in the midst of sorrow and difficulty, there is our living God. Lord, help us to see it, believe it, live it, exercise it, develop it, and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.